Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Insight Wednesday, May the 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm Tom Baker, and we're going to be talking about an insight that actually came up about during yesterday's Sunday school lesson I do for Issues Etc. each Tuesday. We're talking about Jesus appearing to the disciples and in the upper room. That was one of the items we talked about. And Todd asked me, does that say anything about a difference in the body of Jesus? I said to him, well, I'm hoping you're giving me an extra hour to discuss this. It's called the communication of attributes. What does that mean? So this particular broadcast is going to be a little deeper than normal. I wouldn't be talking about the communication of attributes, for example, to kids in Sunday school. I would touch it with youth confirmation and adult confirmation, and certainly with an adult Bible study of confirmed members. But remember, theology is the art of making distinctions. And so we learn a lot about distinctions in the Bible to help us provide the proper meaning of what is going on. This is something I've been on for about a week or two, and I'll be talking at length about this in the sermon at Trinity Orchard Farm on Sunday. Really looking forward to that. In the early service, we have a member who's gone through adult instruction, going to be confirmed. In the late service, we have a wonderful opportunity to see another baptism of an infant. We're also going to be hearing from some of the parochial school children thanking the congregation for the support they received on their trip to Nashville. But right now, we're going to try and delve into what's called the communication of attributes. Let me just summarize it for you. We need to remember it's all about the genus Idiomaticum, the genus Apotelesmaticum, Majesteticum. I'm not very good at pronouncing these Latin words, but what do they mean? Well, let me give you a real easy kind of summary. When Jesus was born as a human being, did his human nature have divine attributes? Well, of course not. For example, he was hungry. God, in his divinity, is never hungry. He was tired. There were a number of items in regard to the human nature that were going on because of what? Another distinction between the state of humiliation and the state of exaltation. Now, the state of humiliation does not refer to Jesus being embarrassed. It means he was humbled. If you want to hear about those two states, you go to Philippians chapter 2. He was humbled to the point of the cross, and then God highly exalted him. So the Apostles' Creed is an excellent summary of his humiliation, namely being conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. Then his exaltation, and we kind of look at that as steps going down, humiliation, steps going up, exaltation was, of course, his resurrection from the dead, his descent into hell, and all the rest of the Apostles' Creed up to the point where he will come to judge the living and the dead. Now, what we're simply saying with the communication of attributes is that after the resurrection and the ascension, the humanity of Jesus began to receive the attributes of the divinity. In other words, when we talk about a communication, when you're communicating with someone, what are you doing? You're actually sharing your point of view with them and hearing their point of view to you. That's called a communication. And when we talk about the first genus, which is the idiomaticum, it says the attributes of the human nature and the attributes of the divine nature are shared in the same person. That's really important. In other words, in his humanity, Jesus, in his state of exaltation, knows all things. He is all-powerful. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. I'll give you an example. You'll recall in his state of humiliation, he said he did not know when the end time was. Well, that was his human nature in a state of humiliation. But after his state of exaltation took place, he now knows the end time. There's nothing he doesn't know in his human nature also. That's why we talk about, therefore, a communication of attributes or a sharing of the attributes of the divine with the human. In fact, the genus Majestaticum, that means the divine attributes are transferred to the human nature by virtue of the personal union. But they never become an essential attribute of the human nature. The communication is strictly one way. Now, I know that sounds really complex, but for example, when Jesus entered into the upper room on the night of the resurrection, did he knock on the door? Did they have to open the door? No. He suddenly appeared through the walls, through the doors. That was the human nature now receiving the divine attributes transferred to it. This is really important, as we're going to see when we get to certain points of doctrine. And we need to understand that this communication of attributes from the divine to the human is really important. For example, there are those denominations, Christian, primarily Reformed, following Calvin, who believe that the divinity, or shall we say, the divine nature of Jesus was separated from the human nature at his ascension, particularly, because it says, and Jesus ascended to the right hand of God. So they believe the human nature is located at the right hand of God. Now, from the scripture, it is clear that the right hand of God is not a location. It's kind of like the President of the United States has a right hand man in France. That would be the ambassador to France. And when the ambassador to France speaks, he's speaking on behalf of the President of the United States. So also in this communication of attributes, the humanity of Jesus, when it says something, knows something, or is somewhere, is receiving divine attributes in those particular situations. Now, why is that important? If you believe that the human nature is separated from the divine nature, then it's not possible to understand Jesus' words properly in the Lord's Supper, "This is my body given for you." You must interpret it as these denominations do, who believe there was a separation between the two natures, as this represents my body. And so if you ask a 5-point Calvinist, if you ask them this question, do you receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the sacrament here on earth, they would say no. You can't, because the body and blood of Jesus is located at the right hand of God. It's not here with the bread and the wine. Now, they believe that through faith, they receive the benefits of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's how they understand the sacrament. But they would not say that this sacrament provides them with what Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood. When we were still at St. Louis Seminary, I get a lot of emails, and I remember this one email from a truck driver, and he wrote me and said that after listening to me on the Lord's Supper, he wrote on the side of his truck, hoc est corpus meum. Now, that's simply Latin, as I explained it. This is my body. And he was telling me, because this was on the side of the truck, and that's the part that he drives, that people would often come up and say, what does that mean? And then he would have the opportunity to talk about the doctrine of the Lord's Supper. You see, it's not sufficient for a confirmand or for anybody to know that Jesus said that. One needs to understand why he says that. In fact, I'm getting more and more convinced that the goal of a pastor, the goal of a sermon, the goal of a Bible class is to bring understanding to the text of Scripture so that it becomes meaningful to the person. And if you have the wrong understanding, you're going to end up with false teaching. If you truly believe that the human nature is separated from the divine nature, then you will not believe in what's called the communication of attributes in regard to the person of Christ. I'll challenge you. Find me one place in the Bible where Jesus is only present in his divine nature. I don't think that's possible. Or he's only present in his human nature. He's always present in both. So at the heart of Lutheran Christology are these three, and they refer to them as genera of communication of attributes. The word genera is just the Latin word for kind, K-I-N-D. Attributes are the divine or human characteristics that Christ possesses. So when we speak of the three genera of the communication of attributes, we're really talking about three ways in which sharing takes place between Christ's natures and person. In fact, one can understand it as three different kinds of statements that the Scriptures make about Christ. We need to understand how Lutheran Christology looks at Christ. We look at Christ as the Word of God. There is no man in the human nature of Jesus who acts independently from the divine nature. Because of the incarnation, and what are we talking about? That's when Jesus took on human nature in the conception of the Holy Spirit with the Virgin Mary. One can say that the Word of God is a man. That could not be said about Jesus prior to his conception. In the Old Testament, Jesus appears 70 times, and each time it is in his divine nature. But we still need to make a distinction because he has two natures. We talk about his human nature and his divine nature. We talk about his three offices, prophet, priest, and king. There are many distinctions that the Bible makes in regard to Jesus. Right now, we're talking about the distinction between the two natures. So, when we talk about the first one, the genus Idiomaticum, and remember, that's simply the Latin word for the Greek word attribute. The genus Idiomaticum is that class of communication in which attributes are communicated from both natures, the human and the divine, to Christ's person. In other words, if you wanted to draw it, you'd have a circle, which is the Word of God, and then underneath it, you have a rectangle, human nature, divine nature, and what you have are arrows going up from the human nature and the divine nature to the Word of God. Now, we know from the divine nature, the Word has divine attributes, and we've mentioned some of them. Omnipotence, that's being almighty. Omniscience, that's being all-knowing. Omnipresence, that means he is everywhere. From his human nature, the Word has also other human attributes, as spatial location, the ability to suffer, the ability to grow. None of those attributes does the divinity of God the Father or the Holy Spirit have. And so the point is that the Word has both sets of attributes, both from the divine and the human. And we find that, like, for 1 Corinthians 2:8, Paul says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, here Paul is attributing crucifixion not to a human Jesus considered apart from the Word, but to the Lord of glory himself. Therefore, he is attributing the human attributes of being able to suffer to the Word. In other words, Jesus is the Word. Another example from Paul, for Romans 1:3. The Son was descended from David according to the flesh. Well, how could the Son of God be descended from David? But being descended from David is a human attribute, but the Word has that because of the incarnation. This does not mean that the Son took his origin from David, because Paul says very clearly, the Son was descended from David according to the flesh. The Word does not receive the human attribute of being descended from David from his divine nature, but from his human nature. Now, the next one, the genus Majestaticum, that's the majestic genus, that's what Majestaticum means, because it deals with the communication of the divine majesty from Christ's nature to his human nature. In other words, you still have the kind of diagram of the circle and the two rectangular boxes, but in this case, there is only one arrow going from the divine nature to the human nature. And why is that important? Well, take the Lord's Supper. We want to be able to confess with the Scriptures that Christ's body and blood gives us life and forgive our sins. But his body and blood are part of the human nature. Yet the Scriptures clearly attribute divine power to his body and blood. For example, in John 6, Jesus, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Or 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So, giving life and purifying from sin are divine attributes, but Christ's human nature has them because of the incarnation. Now, the third one, the genus apotelesmaticum. It's similar to the others, except that it focuses on the relation of Christ's natures to his work rather than to the person. And apotelesma is a work. And so here's how you would have it. You have arrows going from the human nature box and the divine nature up to the word, and then an arrow goes up to another box called the work. In other words, what this teaches, and this is because of the Bible verses, everything that Christ does, he does making use of both natures. He never turns off his divine nature. This is very important. Remember John 6:51. Jesus says that he will give his flesh for the life of the world. See, we can identify both natures in this one action. He gives his flesh, that's his human nature, and his flesh gives life. That's from the divine nature. Or we can look at 1 John 1:7, where we're told that the blood of Jesus, the Son, purifies us from all sin. See, there we see both natures at work together in this act of purification. The purification is accomplished by Jesus' blood. That's part of his human nature. But it has the power to forgive sins, which comes from the divine nature. Now, you see, if you deny this last genus, it would mean that one of Christ's natures is inert and irrelevant to his actions. For example, some people claim that when Jesus did miracles, he did not use his divine nature at all, but merely did the miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I used to think that all the miracles came from his use of the Father. But it is quite obvious that there are times when Jesus himself does the miracle. He doesn't call upon the Father. Remember when he stands up in the boat, big storm, peace be still. And the winds and the waves were still. This really would take a lot more explanation, these communication of attributes. The reason they are so important is because, first of all, they are based on biblical passages that we can only understand if we understand these items that the human nature now shares in the divine attributes, that both, every time Jesus does a work, both his divine nature and his human nature are involved. And therefore, when we receive the Lord's Supper, there's no problem with saying that we're receiving his body and blood in a supernatural, miraculous way, because that's what he says. And there is not one time in the Bible where, after his incarnation, his divine nature is separated from his human nature. Now, we could spend hours on this, giving many more examples of why this stops false doctrine. But it certainly helps us to explain. On the night of Easter, Jesus went through the doors, went through the walls, appeared to the disciples, and then said the greatest thing that could be said, "Peace be with you." Guess what? He said that also to you in the waters of baptism. And he will continue to say it to you as you receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, which we talk about as the Lord's Supper. Till tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.